he kind of let it go a little bit, but we, you know, we scored every time that he was kind of quiet, and he reads that. But, you know, I thought he played a monster game. He played 40, 44 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever we need from him, he gives us. I thought he was great.
That was Mike D'Antoni after the Rockets lost 104-99. Kevin Durant left this game with an injury. He's going to have an MRI, supposedly a calf strain. We'll update you if there's any news this morning. Let's pick up where we were in the first segment, which was on James Harden. How much blame goes on James? Seth, I know you were making a point about just our overall expectations on James relative to last night.
Right, because it's like it's kind of nuanced, which is I don't blame James Harden for why they didn't win last night specifically, because the offense was effective enough in his last 7-plus minutes that he was in the game after he checked back in. The turnovers, the rebounding, some of the sloppiness was largely the issue. At the same time, though, I'm getting tired of having to defend James Harden in so many of these instances, where it's almost like it's the absence of the signature moment in big games versus opponents like this in key games, whether it's either in a victory or a loss. I'll go back to the Clippers win, where James Harden sat on the bench in one of the greatest comebacks in franchise history. I'll go to the San Antonio games of 2017. And then you have last night. Yeah, it's not his fault specifically, but why are we so comfortable saying, hey, Harden, the best thing to do for Harden at that moment, the MVP, the guy that we're all going to scream and shout and cry about whether or not he should be the MVP, why are we supposed to be okay with him just biding his time in the fourth quarter there? Because, hey, he was tired. And that's when champions are made, is in the first three quarters of the basketball game, apparently. That's where I'm getting tired of that. I'm getting tired of the basketball intelligentsia telling me, like, whoa, 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 back off on Harden just because he didn't score any points. That's not the MVP's job. His job is to let Chris Paul run the show in four-on-four basketball and hopefully not turn the ball over or miss every single three he takes like he did. That's where I'm starting to get a little frustrated with it.
If you are a James Harden for MVP truther, then if you want to continue to say, you know what, this wasn't on James for last night's game, that is totally fine. But you got to withdraw your claim of him as the MVP of the National Basketball Association. Period. You have to. I mean, Giannis, what is Giannis Antetokounmpo doing?
Not losing.
Not losing and not looking tired down the stretch. And look, I mean, he had a good game. He's the reason that they got back into this game in the third quarter, but you can't not do anything the next quarter either.
How do you ever let that out of your mouth? But he has to be the MVP, but guys, he was tired. Like, tired? We're honestly, now I'll go back to all the arguments I hate. Like, was Kobe tired in the fourth quarter? Was Michael Jordan tired in the fourth quarter?
Tired of not getting the ball.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron's a whole different story.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Was LeBron cramping? Sure.
But I don't know what the basketball intelligence is even saying about James Harden last night. I mean, genuinely.
I've got a list of, like, smart basketball people. Like that I follow, and it, like, all almost unanimously were like, hey, everybody, back off. Like, Harden's offense wasn't the problem there in the fourth quarter.
Well,
I'm like, all right.
But for me, and the reason why I feel this way is I've been screaming for the last 10 days that for the Rockets to win against the Golden State Warriors, we are going to need to have one vintage Chris Paul game. And what have they not gotten in this series? One vintage Chris Paul game.
Yeah, but Chris Paul's not the MVP.
Well, I know, I realize that,
yeah.
But what I'm
like,
saying,
I'm not going to sit here and, like, yeah, Chris Paul is an issue. Clint Capella is an issue. Like, all these guys that are supposed to be workmanlike, and I've been lauding Chris Paul for just really accepting his role, and I feel stupid for saying that Chris Paul should take more of these open shots. Chris Paul should not shoot again for the rest of the series, except maybe on a wide open mid-range too. That, like, I don't think he should. I think he needs to go completely Ricky Rubio. He needs to be nothing but a facilitator.
How many guys?
Was he even close on any of his threes? Was he close on a single three?
I gotta look at the video.
These guys gotta come out. Look, Toyota Center, this game six, it needs to be a freaking crazy environment in there. And I expect it will be, except the weather forecast isn't all that great.
As far as James Harden goes, so Rockets fans, let's see, 25 years ago, like, they were on the right side of history in that there are a bunch of superstars who are great players who never won a championship. Patrick Ewing, Malone, Stockton, Charles Barkley, you guys know those names. unless the Rockets end up winning a title with James Harden, like, that's what he's going to be for this franchise. He will be for the Rockets. He will be Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Charles Barkley, those kind of guys. That's what he will be. So that part, you talk, Seth, about defending James Harden. I can say whatever I want for the 4 hours this morning. Like, if they don't win a championship, that is what he's going to go down as. Right. He's going to be an absolute no-doubt Hall of Famer. He's going to be the absolute no-doubt second-best player in the history of the franchise. But until and unless he wins, he will go down as one of those kind of players. All I'm saying is, if I'm giving you the Mike Meltzer opinion on last night's game, I thought it was way more about Chris Paul and Clint Capella, just for me.
I would say, like, if I wasn't going to blame individuals, and I would say as a group, it was, like, general in the last 6 minutes. It was general sloppiness, and it was defense, and it was rebounding. And that's, again, where I'll go. I will go back to Chris Paul and say, or excuse me, to James Harden and say, all right, yeah, okay, the best thing for the offense apparently was for you to check out and let everybody else take care of business. I'm being honest here. I'm trying to remember the big James Harden defensive moments in the last 6 minutes.
I don't think Harden hurt them defensively at all.
I don't know, but I'm not talking about hurt. Like, I'm not talking about hurt. Like, this is, Mike, this is the argument people are making in favor of James Harden this morning. Hey, he didn't hurt the team. Hurt? Like, you're talking about the MVP. Why am I sitting here and having to hear you and others say, it's all right because James Harden didn't hurt the team. It was time for others to step up. And where is the excuse for him defensively and not stepping up if he's not going to be involved offensively? That's why, like, I want greatness. I want something above and beyond because he's supposed to be the MVP and we're supposed to cry our little eyes out if he doesn't get it. That's what I want. I want more than just, hey, he didn't hurt the team.
How much blame does James Harden get? 713-572-4610. We'll start with Eric on Mad Radio. Eric, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. I want to talk about the game last night. I mean, I think it was like in the fourth quarter, it was like 72-72.
Yep.
And a chance to win the game. But then, like, Harden comes down. He pulled the three instead of going to the basket. And everybody else is standing around looking at him. Nobody was engaged. Nobody was moving. And, like, they had a chance to win that game last night. They had every opportunity to win the game. And it was 72-72. Harden, all he had to do was drive and hold. Twos are better than three. When you're off on three, just take it to the basket. I mean, don't sit there and settle for a three-pointer. Just go to the basket. You got a chance to win the game. You got a chance to take this series. You could have took it in six.
Well,
I'm going to sit and listen to y'all.
Thank you, Eric. I mean, the thing is, I actually think at 72 apiece, Paul missed a three, and then Jarebko made a three on the other end. But either way, I'm not gonna have an issue with going through a specific moment in the game and saying Harden should have driven instead of taking a three.
I think if Eric's making more of a general Rockets style criticism. I'm okay with them taking as many threes as they do. Obviously, like, that's a strategy that's worked for them, and that's what has them in this series with the Warriors. But I thought even specifically last night, like, I don't think I could have, I thought the balance was just fine. I didn't think they were so three heavy down the stretch. I thought they were trying to penetrate.
Let's go to Fletcher on Mad Radio, Sports Radio 610. Hello, Fletcher.
Hey, my dadgum Kate, connection was out most of the game, but I did get to see specifically the fourth quarter, so that's what edged in my brain. I felt like that the Rockets weren't even, what I saw, weren't even looking for James Harden. I'm not saying that that's bad or anything, or because I didn't see the whole flow of the game, but the parts I watched, they weren't even looking for him. And I love Tucker. I love Tucker. I think he's a very cute team. He missed a very important layup. He stepped out of bounds, and if he makes those two things,
yep,
the whole outcome may be different. So,
well, you're 100% right.
I don't think it's really Harden's fault. So,
and thank you, Fletcher. If you look at that sequence of plays, that's intermixed with Draymond making that massive three, which was to me the moment where I thought, yeah, they're losing this game. They're losing this basketball game.
I'm trying to keep perspective. It's hard after these late games because you wake up and you're grumpy in the morning, and it's
they're
annoying.
Killing us.
But I'm also trying to remember how everybody felt after being down 0-2. And also trying to remember that, like, even without Durant, I think everybody realizes, yeah, even without Durant, they're a really good basketball team. They were already, and they have guys on there. The least surprising thing that happened to me in that game was that Steph Curry got hot as hell after Durant left. Like, that was just, he was heating up a little already, and then Durant goes out and, you could have almost, if I were a gambling man, I would have put money on it at that point. That, all right, the Splash Brothers are back for at least this quarter because that's what they're going to need. And I don't bemoan the loss of the opportunity that you had because Durant went out.
I do.
Do you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Durant's not playing in game six, so you got a chance to avenge that. What you really want is your asterisks game.
I wish Durant was healthy.
I don't.
I really do.
I don't.
No,
that's
Mike,
dumb.
Mike, it's not. This is not a classic
not
situation
winning.
Where the other team has one star player.
I feel much better if they lost and Durant had played.
No, the Warriors need
sick.
Asterisks on their last two championships because they had Kevin Durant.
No, I get that. It's a totally unfair standard what I'm saying here. But from a Rockets fan perspective, I wish Kevin Durant was healthy. I really do.
That makes no sense. No sense.
You're
down 3-2, and he's
yes.
the best player in the NBA.
I know. But I'd rather lose to them if I'm going to lose with Kevin Durant on the court because it would make me feel much better. I'm being dead serious. I feel so much worse today, right now, because Kevin Durant got hurt in the game. And now I'm fearing that you will rue that game for not weeks, not years, decades.
But we know how this goes, though. A star player goes out in the fourth quarter, and it's not as simple as, oh, hey, now you're instantly a better team, especially when it's a team like the Warriors.
Understood.
Like it just doesn't work that way. It's okay. What happens when you make the adjustments to how the Warriors are going to have to play? And now that the Rockets have their backs up against the wall and they're going to come play at home, and the Warriors are without Kevin Durant, now it becomes an advantage. The problem is that on paper, it still might not be an advantage. Not the way with Clint Capella, man. The fact that one of your three best players has become a monstrous liability in this series, that's a tough one, and D'Antoni. Like this next game management challenge for Mike D'Antoni and just how he manages Clint Capella over the next 48 minutes might be one of the biggest challenges of his career. Because it's ugly out there, man. I don't know. Maybe he's got another lung virus or something, but I don't know what the answer is at this point.
Did you guys feel when Durant left the game last night, like the whole feeling of the game changed? Because that's what I felt.
Yeah, I felt the Rockets were going to win the series when that happened.
Logically, you're right, but I'm more talking about like on the court, like just the whole vibe, how both teams reacted.
No, because Curry had already started to make some shots at that point. I felt like the Warriors had gelled a little bit and looked a little bit more like themselves. And I know the score was still close throughout, but like think about the entire game last night and how fatigued the Rockets were by the time they got to the fourth quarter. When you have to come back from 20 down, we already saw that in game one when they had to fight their way back from a huge deficit. They just didn't have it in the tank in the fourth quarter against that team. So I didn't sense it. Maybe I wasn't looking for it enough. Maybe I didn't see it. I thought that something happened with Steph Curry in the second half where he'd forgotten about his troubles about with either at home or with his little finger, and he moved on.
I can't really pinpoint, you know, I can't really pinpoint on the back box score or even the play-by-play, but it felt to me like it took the Rockets some time. And I don't know if they fully even, it sounds weird to say, recovered from the Durant injury. It created a weird spell on the game itself to where it was like, oh, Kevin Durant is now not on the court, and now we're expected to win this game. And I just don't think they seized the opportunity and seized the moment. That was my feeling on my couch watching.
I guess, was there any other point? I guess was there a point in the game, even when they made their comebacks, it was always a little bit of a surprise when you looked at the score. It never felt like, oh, wow, yeah, the Rockets are really getting momentum now or really taking control of the game here.
In the third, I thought they had real momentum, even before Durant went down, where people were going to start to get nervous.